Book of Joshua, chapter 3, and verse 5. I just want to read that again. Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. May the Lord add his blessings for the meditation. Let's pray. Dear God, we just come into your glorious presence with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving for how good you are in each one of our lives. We want to thank you for the freshness of this morning and the joy to come into your holy sanctuary to worship your awesome name. As we continue to worship, O Lord, fill us with your spirit that we may enjoy you in truth and in spirit. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, church. It's always joy and a privilege to be here at North Shore to not only to worship, that I always enjoy, but also moments of sharing the word of God. I take this special time to thank Pastor David and Pastor Catherine for their wonderful leadership in time to define a sermon series for the Lenten season. And when I saw the theme about faithful sojourners, that was such a powerful theme. I was just jumping to see what are the things that are going to come out through meditating this wonderful theme. And lo and behold, it's an honor that they have extended an opportunity, for people like us to join in to kind of reflect this. So I just thank you for that, for the opportunity to study the word together. And I'm just delighted to hear all those reflections, and especially when David brought us a wonderful sermon last week, not the tons of faith, right, busload of faith, versus three, a balanced faith that can help us. I think I just want to start from there to kind of see, to understand as how faith, as so much we talk about, faith is our own property, right? Christians always talk about faith. And then we kind of claim on it and then see how do we, as we many times claim this faith, how do we really practice it? And how difficult and how easy it is, and where we are in that is something that I wanted to ponder. Before I go further along, I want to also take this opportunity to thank the church for your faithfulness in encouraging us as a family in our own faith journey in Chicago. And I remember those days that we walked into this church. We were new into the city, and Chicago is not easy to navigate, right? You need some beautiful faith family to walk with you to make your journey much easier. That's what Pastor David yesterday was talking. If you want to talk, you want to walk long, right? You should have companions. And that's what has been this church for us. So we want to thank you for that. And also I want to thank the readers. I know, you know, I have become a little difficult preacher these days, you know, as a missiologist. I rather spend more time on the context versus the text. So for to set the context, you need a lot more readings than just one verse. And then Nick has got his mouth full for all the 17 verses. Thank you. And also the current reader. Well, you all have set us a good pace. I just want to take this opportunity to kind of spend time to kind of walk with me as I study the Word of God, and especially this particular text. Sanctify yourself is what is listed here, right? Sanctify yourself. I just want to add few words to it and say for a courageous faith. And Baptists, we have that freedom, right? We can just take the text and interpret according to, if those who take David's class, you know that, right? We have that quality freedom that he always teaches, that we have every freedom as Baptists to kind of play with the text and to see what God is doing amazing in the text. So how I see my sermon today, I want to start by saying sanctification becomes the key feature, as we see in this narrative, for Joshua and his courageous faith. Now, why do I want to put the word courageous here? Is depending on the context where we are in. Our today's faith is requiring us something much more than what we already enjoy as faith. Faith is always what Paul defines it as, seeing and believing in an invisible things. Yes, that's what that faith is all about. But at the same time, this particular incident where people of God, we call it Israel at that point of time, they were waiting on the side of the River Jordan and waiting to cross over. And we need to pay attention to that context because it has been 40 years that they have been staying there. It was under the wonderful leadership that Moses brought them from slavery all the way through the Red Sea. And now they have been in the wilderness for 40 long years. I don't know, 40 years is it two generations? Probably, or maybe one and a half, whatever that is. But by the time they took this new journey, what the Word of God says is those who walked that Exodus were no longer with them. So that's an important point. But the second thing is, in the wilderness, we have God providing manna, right, from heaven, and water, and even they ask for meat, right? They're no longer vegans those days. They were, probably God was going on a vegan diet at that time, and they're not very happy about it. They asked for meat, and God provided them. And the Word of God also says, as they were walking in the wilderness, they didn't use laundry at all, because their sandals were not worn out, and their clothes didn't get dirty. So probably this talks about much like an American life, much more comfortable, settled down, food is paid off, you have wonderful life, all luxuries, you know, clean things. Now you don't think of going, I mean, in India, if you want to wash, you need to grab your clothes and heat to the stone. And then you don't have dryers. You need to dry them out there under the sun. So when you come to the United States, we have much more easier life. And that is all comfortable, luxurious. And God has been so blessed upon them that they have been fed. Why promised land? We're already in a promised situation, right? What more promise can be that you have been fed comfortably, you got the meat on it, you don't have laundry? What more you need of promise? Right? I think at that point, they've settled down. I don't think that they are ready for any more bigger promise than what God was talking about. They settled down on the other side river, because if you cross the other side, you better fight. You have to fight for your life. You no longer been fed with those comfort bills paid. No. That's going to end on the other side. So I would rather prefer on the other side, right? Where God would take care of all my deeds. And then the story comes in with a wonderful new leadership. And that's another difficult thing. You know, Moses is wonderful because he does everything, and you ask and it shall be given to you. Well, he not only asking, you can even grumble and he will get you. What? That's another amazing leadership. If that leadership continues, then probably people might take risk to cross Jordan. Because, you know, you have a leader who has already proved himself, and then he can be trusted to be followed on. But now, at this time, Moses is no longer with us. So we are taking up a real challenge now. We don't have Moses. We have Joshua. We haven't tried him yet. We don't know what that would look like. But then we need to lose all the privileges that we already have on this side if we trust him and move with him into the other side. And also, the Joshua, book of Joshua starts with, this is interesting, if you read chapter 1, it has 18 verses, and in that three times, it is said, be courageous and strong. Well, in 18 verses, God tells him two times, and the people say that we will follow you, be strong and courageous, which means I think when they ask him to shoulder up this leadership, probably Joshua might not be so curious about this new leadership. If he was, probably the word of God would have not repeated twice. It was said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Go read Joshua chapter 1, 6, and 7. In 18 verses, it said three times, Joshua, you can do this. Be strong and courageous. And then that's how the chapter ends in chapter 1. The reason why is the challenge ahead, Joshua knows the consequences and what it would look like. And what it looks like to shoulder a leadership responsibility for the people of God who he walked all the 40 years, how beautiful they can grumble, they can talk against you, they can do amazing things to cooperate, in sense. So probably he was not ready yet. And in this difficulties and the context, here is God calling us to go cross Jordan, take this journey into a land, and that is called the promised land. Well, I say courageous faith, I would say the first thing is we are called to this courageous faith, and the first thing is as we claim the promises of God. It is not about the leadership, it is not about the provision, it is about the promise. And each one of us, as a church, as an individual, we are given a promise of God that we need to hold on in our journeys. And that is the strength. And there is one old saying in Telugu, in my own mother tongue, the fish, I don't know how it translates, but I'll try in English. The fish will only be taken away by the current when it's dead. As long as it is alive, it always swims against the current. So in other words, if it is alive, it swims against the current. So if we are alive, we are because we are claiming our promise. And if you see these two incidences as people of God are waiting to cross Jordan and the water gets divided, happened two times in the history of Israel, right? And first time Moses did it. You know how Moses did it? Moses took his staff and he put in the water, and then water opened up and a Nile like this with a carpet, maybe a dry ground, and the people walked it. I would love to do that. But then this time, it's different. You know what? This time, it's much more difficult. When they came to the bank of the Jordan, it says that the Jordan was running high in its level. It says that it has waters as if it is flooding. And now, this time, we have new leadership, right? We don't have Moses anymore with us. So the new leadership doesn't have the new staff or the staff that he got so that he can put it and it gets what? This time, God is doing different thing. He said, now take the ark of God and walk, and when the feet of the people who are carrying the ark touch the water, that's when. Well, who would want to take that first step into the flooding water? What happens if Joshua's new leadership does not work? You will be taken into the current, right? Well, the challenge is, I think when I do these these readings, I'm amazed. It's like, why God would have just done the same thing as what he did in the past? Why is this time God wants them to try? Why is it not open for you before like it was happened in the Moses' time? Now he wants us to take a courage of faith, a faith that is courageous to walk into the situation boldly, not only claiming the promise, but believing in yourself. And you see in the chapter 1, it is more about Joshua. In that, God says, Joshua, now you need to believe in yourself that I am going to go with you. You need to step up and take up this responsibility. Well, Lord, this is a difficult situation. Today, the political and religious situations are quite challenging. Where do we stand? When God is calling, the second thing is believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. As a missiologist, I have several examples to kind of talk about what that would look like. And my inspiration is always about William Carey. You know, Carey is a missionary who came to India in about 1793, a pioneer missionary who passionately wanted to bring gospel to the heathens. And one of the things that they said, you know, that's interesting. When William Carey proposed his missionary endeavor in England in about 1790s, and he was in one of those missionary ministers' council, and then he wanted to challenge the hyper-Calvinism of, let me get that word right. When you use theological words, you got to get it right. You cannot just go. So hyper-Calvinism, and he is challenging that all men were not responsible to believe the gospel. I think that is the context. So not necessarily that the gospel has to be preached to everybody. And William Carey was challenging that. And he was a believer of the Great Commission, as we all know, Matthew 26, following, make disciples of all nations. And then when he proposed that, you know what one of his own senior pastor colleague had said? Young men, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid and mine. Wow, I can't believe that. And that did not stop William Carey. He came to India and he did amazing missionary endeavors. I can be a witness of my thesis a little bit talks about what contributions he made. But one of the things that I want to share today is, in those days when there was not so much technology, he was sitting and writing and translating texts. We have about 18 language Bibles owe their heritage to William Carey's translation. Anyway, so when he was writing this, doing this translation work, and he was a significant amount of work was done, and his reading room was set on fire because of a cat. He just tripped over the lamp, which was leading out with oil and twig, and the whole work was set on fire, about 3 years or 4 years of translation work. If I were on his situation, I would have just given up on this God, honestly. Because if I'm doing his work and making this effort to translate an Indian language, and you should, if you are not doing me a favor, please don't destroy it. That's what I would pray to God. Because if you read his history, his challenges to live in India at that time, though he was from Britain and British was ruling India, he was not allowed to come into India. That's why he was always in the Dutch colony. And he was commuting to do his ministry in India. With all those difficulties, he takes time, sacrifices his sleep to do translation in the night. And after all this work, a cat just does a favor, and all his work is bad. And amazingly, what William Carey writes is it didn't discourage him anything. He starts all over fresh. Well, what kind of faith is that? Believe in yourself. I think he had strongly believed in the call what God gave. And he moved on. There were no mission stations those days that would fund the mission work as the missionaries were doing. He had to raise his own money. I know some missionaries who are struggling to do that, to raise their own funds and to do ministry. That's difficult. The second thing, and I know I'm running over time, but last point, Baptists, we need to finish three, right? We should always have 3 points in the sermon to fulfill Trinity. So my last point, and the third one is God's word. And amazingly, the story of this faith journey to cross Jordan is now centered around the Ark of God. And the Ark of God will go ahead of you, and the people of God, you walk behind it. And then interestingly, the verse says, you keep a distance, and somehow it is said, don't go closer. I don't know why that word closer has gotten there, but I would say, keep an equidistance with it. Not too far, not too close. I think that's where it is, the center of our courageous faith. And I look back into chapter 1 where it says that only be strong and very courageous, be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it right or left so that you may be successful. The word that I want to see here is the center of our life is our church and the people as faith community. We need to meet, keep an equidistance, which means, in my sense, a right relationship with the church, because that is the faith community that is going to nurture you in your life. And that is what I can speak of this church in my own life when I walked in my faith journey in the city of Chicago. There were moments that the church shouldered me. There are moments this church embraced me. There are moments the church encouraged me. The moments that the church trained me. I don't know, those were the wonderful moments that I enjoyed being on the intern pastoral. I forgot my title, but it's an interesting one that they made up for me. Pastoral intern. A term, a period that prepared me for ministry. And honestly speaking, one of the things that is strongly, proudly I put on my CV is pastoral intern of North Shore Baptist Church. And today I am here to celebrate that, to thank you for what it is. And coming back to our sermon, courageous faith. Courageous faith starts with claiming the promise. Courageous faith is about believing in yourself, about the dream that you want to pursue in the midst of the challenge because the God in Jesus Christ has given you. And finally, to be part of a faith community and in a right relationship to maintain that faith community. And that makes us to practice a courageous faith. And for that, Joshua calls us to say, consecrate yourself to that kind of faith. Therefore, God is going to do a wonder in your life tomorrow. If we want to see wondrous future for our church and for our ministries or for our lives, let us consecrate ourselves to this wonderful, courageous faith. Amen.